I was just wondering, is it possible, even a little bit, that the reason you have trouble connecting to guys is because you think maybe they're not worth it? Maybe you think you're better than them.
Say, there's that bloodlust I was looking for.
Struck a nerve.
I'm gonna strike a nerve cluster in a minute you don't get off this. I don't remember you being this annoying.
You don't remember me at all.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, like after 30 minutes of reminding. And I don't take it personally because clearly you were in your own little world in high school, all chosen, all destiny. Who could live with that for 7 years and not feel superior?
I'm not. My God, if anything, it...
What?
If you knew what I've done, what I've let myself become. My best friends don't even. You'd laugh if you heard some of the things I've done to them.
Buffy, I'm here to kill you, not to judge you.
Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving our review, our reactions. We're your hosts. I am Joe Welke.
I am Vance Tucker.
Ooh, last name episode. Special, everybody. We are talking about Season 7, Episode 7, titled Conversations with Dead People, directed by Nick Mark, written by Jane Espenson and Drew Goddard. Original air date, November 12th, 2002, to an audience of 4.83 million people. And before we get into the episode, everybody, we got a couple of shout-outs from Sloppy Joe. Sloppy Joe wants to give a special shout-out to Carlisa, a.k.a. Violacious on Discord, giving us a 5-star Spotify review. Thank you, Carlisa. Also want to give a shout out to Alex Cody. Alex Cody gave us a shout out, so we wanted to return the favor, Alex Cody. Here's a fucking shout out for you, my friend. And yeah, if you want to get your own shout out, 5-star Apple Podcasts rating and review, 5-star Spotify rating. Take a screenshot of that, send it in to us, and we will give you that shout out. All right. Going to address an elephant in the room up top here. As a part of our joining Seltzer Kings, there will be ads on the podcast now. A little something to help us get some money going, a little something to help Seltzer Kings and help the promotion of the thing go of the podcast. So you might hear an ad in the middle of the podcast, might hear an ad somewhere else. I don't know. But yes, just wanted to address that. I think last week was the first time that we actually had them, right, Vance?
Might not have been the first week, but it was the first time I think everyone seemed to get an ad on it.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. It was the first time I noticed an ad, so.
Yeah.
Just wanted to address that up front, everybody. We're trying to get some freaking, I'm trying to quit my job.
This is what happens when no one gets you a Nintendo Switch after all this time, yeah. You know?
No Nintendo Switch, no Oculus.
Yeah. By the time we get our monies for that, those things will be out of date already.
They're already in the end phase of Nintendo Switch. I think there's already an Oculus 2.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that we do have that we get from people, everybody. It's Monster Energy drinks.
That is
We're
true.
We're in a freaking Monster. Gosh darn error. Are you peachy keen today, buddy?
I'm peachy keen.
I am peachy keen today as well. Oh, also join our Discord, join our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where we do Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies, Joe's Fashion Report /Corner. It's a good time overall.
And coming up, Boys Watching Movies, we are doing a Sarah Michelle Gellar classic, Scooby-Doo.
Yes, indeed. Kicking off spring-summer-ish area, right, with a good old-fashioned Scooby-Doo-a-thon.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Same. Same. It came out around the year this is the show's airing, right?
Yeah, I think 2002-ish. Yeah. And that's, yeah, this is November 2002. So we're killing it, dude.
Yeah.
We're doing great stuff. All right. Conversations with Dead People. What did you think of this episode, Vance?
Based off the title, based off the screen, the thumbnail that I saw beforehand, I was really worried that this was going to be a downer, bummer, overly emotional episode. Mm. And I'm here to say, this might be my favorite one of the season so far.
I agree. I fucking loved this episode.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this one. Okay. What was the screen grab that you saw?
It was just like Joyce, white light,
okay,
that thing. Or yeah, her face, a close-up of her face. I was like, okay, Joyce is back. And I was like, okay, oh boy, Conversations with Dead People. It's going to be like this metaphysical floating back. What's real? What's not? Nope. Therapy session.
Yes, much needed therapy session. Yeah. yeah, man, as I was watching this and when it was finished, I was like, this episode fucking kicked ass, dude.
Yes, start to finish, man.
Loved it. Mm-hmm. You know, people were talking about like, just stick it out, season 7. It's going to get good. It's going to ramp up. And then maybe this is the start of that.
I've been hearing it ramps down. And I'm thinking this is the start of that. Because last episode was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I might be conflating my thoughts on Angel with the last. Last week was just like so bad for me.
Did this week alleviate your Angel worries?
A little tiny bit.
We'll talk
little
about
tiny,
it.
tiniest bit. They're not out of the woods.
No, far from it.
But yeah. But this episode, Buffy.
Yeah.
Loved this episode, dude.
Okay.
Let's get into it. So we open up with recaps of Warren getting flayed, the duo running away to Mexico, Spike getting a soul, Cassie Newton dying, and then Spike saying, "From beneath you it devours." So a whole lot of random shit, just a grab bag of stuff that's been going on lately. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So this was like incredibly interesting because this episode opens up with a title card. And I was like, oh, this must be like a special event episode or something, like Hush.
I wrote down the date like, oh, shit, it's back then. And I read the date and I was like, oh, that's the date of the episode.
Yeah, that's the date that this aired.
Like I wrote like 2002, November 12th. I was like, okay. It's like, no, that's not special. That's not a flashback then.
No.
Yeah.
That was actually a flash forward for him.
Yeah.
But so we open up with that title card, the date card, and then we see a band getting ready to play. And they're tuning their instruments and everything. And Buffy's walking through a graveyard because where else would she be? Spike is alone at the Bronze, looking sad. Willow's at college studying. And this is all like a montage with the band playing. And Dawn comes home and sees that Buffy left her a note and left her some pizza money. And then Buffy stops at a grave and a hand pops up out of the ground. And Buffy's like, here we go.
It starts out almost as if it's going to be the musical episode again.
Yeah.
And this thought just hit me. Spike is at the Bronze, just having a drink. The place where everyone knows he's a vampire.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago, they saw him like vampire face getting kicked across the bar.
Now he's just casually having a drink, picking. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little odd, but you know.
It's Sunnydale.
Sunnydale.
God, gotta love it.
So then we get the intro song, and then after that, we have the duo, Jonathan and Andrew, driving around, and they're talking, and they're scared. They're scared to be back in Sunnydale, and they're like, oh, why are we coming back here? And It's because they've both been having nightmares and they're back to fix something. They got to fix something. We got to fix it. Maybe the nightmares will go away. And they're talking about like, yeah, I'm glad that we're not in Mexico anymore. I hated being in Mexico. I didn't want to learn Spanish. And Jonathan is like, what are you talking about? You learned Klingon in fucking 2 weeks, dude. And Andrew's like, yeah, but that's so much easier. But yeah, they've been having nightmares of From Beneath You It Devours as well, only in Spanish.
And they translate it, it eats you starting with your bottom.
Yeah. Great, great little gag there.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw the recap of Jonathan and Andrew, I was like, what?
I was like, answers. How are they? I was like, answers, yeah. At least. They just left. They actually went to Mexico.
Yeah, they did.
They actually made it.
Then they came back.
Never come back to Sunnydale.
No. I don't care how many fucking terrible dreams you're having, dude. Yeah. Stay. You're far away from the From Beneath You It Devours.
That is like, we'll talk about Jonathan at the end of this, but it's a little bit of a reach what he says.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So then we go back to the graveyard and Buffy's fighting a vampire and she's getting worked, man. She's getting handled. She's not having the best slayer business going on.
I thought she was going to stab before he got out of the ground.
I thought so too. That's what we've seen her do a bunch of times. She knows who has the power. It's always them.
Not according to Willow. Because she is the power.
So yeah, Buffy's getting her ass beat in the graveyard. Then we go back to the Summers' home and Dawn is at home and she's eating some pizza.
Anchovy pizza, which you always see on TV. Anchovies are good. You don't know anything about anchovies.
Always see that on TV.
I've never had an anchovy pizza, but exactly. I have had anchovies.
I've never known anyone to get an anchovy pizza.
I've never seen it. I don't even see it offered at pizza places. Yeah. That's the thing that was...
Haven't we talked about this?
We have talked about it. That's the only reason I brought it up.
Yeah. But yeah, she's got an anchovy pizza and she's eating it. And then she's like running around the house, like practicing doing some slayer moves. And she's like, take that, evildoer. She takes out a crossbow and she shoots it at the wall and tries to take the arrow out of the wall, but it just like causes so much damage.
I think that's our answer that Buffy is not training her anymore.
Yeah. We got that one episode.
You know what
it was? She learned who has the power. That's it.
They did the same thing that season with Buffy where she's like, hey, Giles, stick around. I want to learn about slayers. Okay, here's the one lesson. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, how do you not keep up with that?
Yeah.
How do you not keep up with that?
They did something similar in Angel also.
Yeah, they did. I was just about to bring that up. Yeah. But anyway, so she damages the wall. She hides it with a big old plant. And she goes into the kitchen and she's goofing, dancing around to some like goofy horn music.
I wrote samba music, but I wasn't sure the type. Is this the same music that Buffy was listening to at one point?
I don't think so.
You know the scene where she was doing the dishes?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't think it is the same music, but I could be wrong. But that was more like, oh yeah, I guess it is. It was Latin.
Yeah, and I was wondering if Sunnydale just has a Latin station that kicks in at night, like how Baltimore has Baltimore club music that kicked in.
Go-go.
Yeah, go-go in D.C. Yeah.
So... yeah, she's there. She's microwaving a marshmallow and she's watching it and she's like, cool.
My thought was, turn some lights on. Why is it so dark in Sunnydale?
Yeah, and especially because she starts to hear a banging. And she's like, oh shit, what's that? She looks around. Nothing really going on. She hears some more banging. She's like, oh, okay. So then we go over to Willow at school. Willow's like in the library. She's studying her butt off. And out of the ether, Cassie Newton, the girl from a couple episodes ago who just knew she was going to die, and then she did die, Cassie Newton shows up and Willow's like, ah, you're here. I never actually met you, but I know who you are because I saw your picture and I read all your dark, sad poetry. And Cassie's like, yeah, I'm here. I came here because I need to talk to you. Somebody asked me to come and talk to you, Willow. And Willow's like, okay, who? And she's like, the person that asked me to come and talk to you wanted me to let you know that she still sings. And Willow's like, okay. She's like, remember like that one day when you were singing on the bridge? And Willow's like, Tara, I'm under your spell. Num dum da dum da.
Ra-da-da-da-da. Yeah. And I was like, all right, we got some musical. We got some musical in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie, we had talked on Discord that she reminded us of Dakota Fanning. That was brought up. And that made sense. She also just reminds me of someone I think I know, but I can't
picture.
Yeah. I don't know who it would be.
She actually, and this is crazy, she reminds me of a girl I knew in Baltimore who was also named Cassie.
Mm.
So maybe that was the inspo.
That's of her, of the name.
My friend Cassie.
Yeah, that's how they get inspiration. They just travel to the East Coast in the writer's room.
They're like, who are you, you fucking Dundalk hillbilly? That's a real fucking deep cut for you Baltimore people listening.
We got a few.
Yeah. But yeah, Willow recognizes now, like, oh my God, Tara has sent Cassie to come talk to me about, I don't know, life and all that shit.
Question. Do you think, I was trying to think about this while watching it, who else could have come back besides Cassie from the dead to do this message?
Willow's mom, maybe? Because we haven't seen her in forever. She's probably dead.
She's like, Mom, what are you doing? You died between season 3 and 4.
Yeah, I don't know who else could have.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, there's no...
When they revealed that, like, Cassie's there to tell her about Tara, I was like, oh, I guess Amber Benson was busy or
too booked or something. Yeah, because, like, why wouldn't it be Tara? They kind of make a lame excuse for it that added some red flags to me when I heard that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so Willow's all freaking out because her girl Tara's back and she's talking to her. So then we go back to the Summers' home and Dawn is watching an old like Nosferatu and she's on the phone with our girl Kit.
Kit
from
stole?
The first episode.
Kit stole in the mix.
I was very surprised.
Yeah, I have it in bold in my notes.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But she's on the phone. They're watching Nosferatu, Dawn is, and Kit's not.
Yeah.
Kit's watching something else.
Like something with Tom Hanks, I think.
Yeah. And then she hears that loud banging again that she heard before. And she's on the phone and she's like, yeah, somebody's banging us. Like, I don't know what it is, but there's this loud banging. Hang on. And then she gets up to go check it out. And then the front door just bursts open. And Dawn had like muted the TV before she did that. And the TV unmutes itself. And Dawn's like, what the hell? Dawn tries to turn it off with the remote and it won't turn off. So Dawn goes and she unplugs the TV, but the TV's still on. And Dawn is like, uh-oh, something mystical is afoot here.
I thought you were going to get your TV monster that you predicted a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. I'm glad that I didn't.
Yeah.
Based on how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's some TV monsterdom going on. Some wacky doodles. So then we go back to Buffy fighting that vampire in the graveyard, and Buffy is still getting her ass kicked. Like, this is bad, dude.
Yeah.
For like a newly born vampire, is tough.
I mean, remember that punk vampire that stabbed her that one time? Like, she...
Oh, yeah.
She gets worked by regular vampires every now and then, which is always strange, because then you see her beat up, like, 10 in or a 10 by herself.
Yeah. I guess maybe, like, her guard is down because she thinks it's just a regular-ass vampire and doesn't take it as seriously.
She doesn't want to die anymore. I don't know.
Hmm. So
it's the plot. It's the story.
Fair. So Buffy's getting her ass kicked, and then just as the vampire is about to like put the finishing touches on her, the vampire recognizes her. He's like, "Buffy? Buffy Summers?" And she's like, "Yeah, who wants to know?" And he's like, "It's me, Webbs, Holden Webster. We went to high school together." And Buffy's like, "Oh, sure." And he's like, "You don't recognize me?" And Buffy's like, "Eh." And then we cut away.
Yeah. Great moment.
Yeah. And then so we go back to Dawn at the Summers home, and everything in the house starts playing at the same time. Like the TV's on, the radio is on, the microwave goes on, and Dawn just grabs an axe and starts hacking away at everything.
Awesome.
Yeah. She smashes the radio, smashes the TV, it explodes. Microwave explodes. The radio turns on, it starts playing that goofy samba Latin music again. And then out of the static from the radio, a voice just says, "Dawn?" And it's Joyce's voice. And Dawn's like, "Mom?" Creepy. Creepy.
They do that nice little digital, like, "Dawn? Dawn?" Yeah. That thing. Yeah.
I love, dude. Yeah. So then we go back to Buffy and Webbs, and Webbs is still trying to make Buffy remember. He's like, "Don't you, we had this class together?" And Buffy's like, I mean, I'm sure that we did. I just don't remember. And he was like, I was doing the play, and I was doing that light board thing. And Buffy's like, "I didn't see that play, and I wasn't in it." He's like, "Yeah, but because I was doing the light board, I dropped the lighting board on your foot. Don't you remember that?" And Buffy's like, "Oh, yeah, now I remember you dropping that thing on my foot. How could I forget? Anyway, what you been up to, man?" And he's like, apparently dying. And then they just start having a walk-in chat.
Yeah, this is where his face snaps back, and it's a great moment where he's like, what just happened? Did my face change?
They're having a walk-in chat, and they're talking about some kind of crazy guy that they knew in high school. It's like, "Remember Crazy Jay? He went into the chronic ward after graduation, and Webbs was apparently working at like some kind of psychiatric place. He majored in psychology or something." And yeah, then his face changes and he's like, "What the fuck was that?" Buffy's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You can do that. Your face can change, look normal, look like a vampire. It's a whole thing." And he's so fucking stoked about being a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Dude, this feels awesome. I love this. This is great. I feel strong. I feel alive. I got this whole bloodlust thing, which, sorry about that. Sorry for attacking you, but you know how it goes. But I'm fucking really digging this."
Yeah, my thought was that vampires can be really chill even if they don't have a soul. That was my note right here.
Like, yes.
He's still evil, but like you can still have conversations with vampires. There's not,
yes.
They're not a, "I have to kill all the time, every time." Like they can just like walk away. They can choose to kill this person and not that person. They have agency.
They're not mindless zombies, wink, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
They've got thoughts and agency and can do what they want to do, basically.
Yeah.
But, so Webbs is like, "Buffy, like, what about you? What have you been up to? What's your deal?" And Buffy's like, "Oh, well, this is what I do. I'm a vampire slayer." And he's like, "No fucking way. What is that? Is that like some kind of gang, some kind of cult or something that you guys do? You kill vampires?" She's like, "No, it's basically just me. I'm the one, the chosen one." And he's like, "No shit. This is so interesting because I remember back in high school, I always heard a bunch of rumors about you. Like, you were always missing, and thought that you might be like super Christian or something. Thought that you were like dating some kind of creepy older guy or something. And Buffy's kind of looking like, oh, okay. And then he reveals, yeah, I mean, even Scott Hope, he thought that you were gay. He said that you were gay. And Buffy's like, I fucking dated that guy. I dumped him. And he's like, that's what Scott Hope does anyway. He always, anybody that dumped him, he said was gay. And turns out, later on, he actually came out of the closet. So he's the actual gay guy. And Buffy's like, that son of a bitch.
Don't I know how to pick him?
Yeah.
Scott Hope reference.
I know. All right. I thought that we were the only ones doing that.
Buffy also mentions that she doesn't get paid as a slayer. That comes up.
Yeah.
Interesting that she doesn't bring up that she's a counselor at the new high school. Yeah. Seems like her first, like, real job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, when you don't have a lot going on and you're like, what is the one thing I can say that sounds interesting? I guess sounds being a slayer. Important. But yeah, being a counselor, yes. it floats with what he's doing, though. I think sometimes she strives to be normal or to seem normal. And I think she could mention that, but it's fine that she didn't. I literally just thought about that right now.
Yeah. I feel like Slayer trumps school counselor.
When talking to a vampire.
Yeah. 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 When he's like in the know of the mystical stuff. Yeah. If she was at like a dinner party. Yeah.
Oh, so you're the Slayer, the one, the chosen one. It's like, okay. Not talking to her anymore.
But all this time while they're having this nice little chat, catching up, old high school buddies, Buffy's cell phone is ringing. And it's like far away because Buffy had dropped it when she got into the little tussle with this guy. And Buffy's not picking up. And it is Dawn calling her because Dawn is at home and everything in the house is like, going crazy. Like it is floating. Well, Dawn's like on the phone and she's like, come on, pick up. And then this camera pans up to reveal Joyce's dead body, like on the couch behind her. And then Dawn turns around and the body's gone. And I was like, dude, Dawn is in a great horror movie in this episode.
The body. I love that the ghost was doing ghost activities like stacking chairs on tables. Like, why do ghosts? Why does that happen in ghost stories? It's like such a classic trope of just like moving like chairs around and stuff.
The lights go out, the chairs are all upside down, and then the lights come back on, and the furniture isn't upside down. Like, but like also all the crosses in Buffy's little. Like her weapons chest, they all are upside down and there's blood on the wall that says Mother's Milk is Red Today. I was like, damn.
That's some dark shit. Dawn has been through so much.
Yeah, I feel bad for Dawn, dude.
I mean, but the trauma that she's been through in just these 3 years.
Yeah.
Buffy's been through trauma, but also Buffy is the chosen one that has superpowers.
Yeah. I mean, Dawn technically did, but not anymore.
She didn't really have a superpower, though. She had a power, but, like, nothing that she could use.
Yeah. Yeah, she couldn't use that for, like, good.
Yeah.
And to fight demons.
Like I said, I'd rather be Willow anytime.
Absolutely.
Like, I would just be walking down the street, some vampire come up on me, boom, shoot him across the street, done.
Yeah. So yeah, the lights go out again. Everything goes back to normal. There's no more blood on the wall. Joyce's body isn't there. But Dawn is freaking out and she screams and everything that was like on stops. And then Dawn tries to communicate with the thing that's banging that's causing all this ruckus. And she's like, Mom, is that you? And it's like banging and Dawn's like, all right, here we go. Here's our system. Bang once for yes, bang two for no. Mom, is this you? One bang. Dawn's like, oh my God. Mom, are you okay? Two bangs. Joyce is not okay. Mom, are you alone? Two bangs. House starts shaking. Loved this, dude.
Yeah. It gives that Stranger Things vibe of when they're putting up the Christmas lights. Yeah.
The one scene that I've seen of that show.
Really?
Yeah.
First season's pretty solid.
I feel like it's probably not as good anymore.
I love your declaration based off of seeing one scene of a show. You don't even know how good it was to begin with.
So I heard that it was really good to begin with. I don't hear anything about it anymore.
Well, it's been a lot of years between.
That's what I'm saying.
Why did you not watch it?
I don't know. It just didn't interest me.
Hmm.
Just didn't look interesting to me. You know what was terrible, though, that like is in the same vein? The new Goosebumps series that was out on Hulu, Disney Plus. That shit was terrible.
So you watched that?
I watched like 3 episodes of that, and I was like, I can't.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking terrible, dude.
Uh-huh. I mean, Stranger Things was such a big popular thing when it first came out. It's like, seems weird just to not even watch it.
Vance, I know.
Pop culture junkies.
You know what else was a big thing when it was out? Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Neither of us watched that.
Fair enough. I feel like we were at the, I don't know, yeah. I feel like people got into Buffy at different times. I don't know.
I mean, we were talking about this before. I watched Quiet on Set. That's a big thing right now.
Yeah, but as we talked before, it's not because you wanted to. So I'm not giving you credit for that.
This was at the behest of my girlfriend.
I did want to watch Quiet on Set, and I've only caught it the end of it. And it's the same reason our significant others.
Yeah.
So we don't get any credit for that.
All right. Well, I did watch it.
I just thought Stranger Things would be up your alley. Spooky, scary. I know you don't have 80s nostalgia. I don't really have 80s nostalgia.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about it. I just did not. I was like, eh.
Yeah. Just a little tangent.
Yeah. Anyway. So then we go to the duo, and Jonathan is rappelling into the library. He's coming down on his Mission Impossible little rope thing. And as he lands, Andrew just straight up falls from the ceiling to the ground, splatting on the ground.
Is that the best way to get into the high school? The door, probably.
Yeah. I mean, if they have all that technology to fucking rappel from the ceiling, they've got a lockpick.
Getting on the roof would be harder than breaking a door open.
Yeah.
It's a high school. There's so many entrances and exits at a high school.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Andrew falls, doesn't break anything, but that's just the slapstick of it all.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking around and they hear like a little bit of a clattering going on. They hear a banging around at some point, and they're all freaked out. They're like, what the fuck is this? What's going on? And they're walking the halls and they're talking about how they need to find proof. They need to find evidence. And once they find the evidence, they're going to tell Buffy and they're going to try to help her. They're going to save Sunnydale, and everybody's going to forget all about the evil stuff that they did. And we're going to be heroes. And then maybe Buffy will let us join her little gang. And Andrew's like, you really think so? Jonathan's like, I think so. Maybe.
I love that they want to be Scoobies.
I know. It's so cute.
Yeah.
The
girl that they tried to, the girl that they were trying to kill for a whole season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they are walking, and then they're still chatting about this, and they decide they need to split up to look for this evidence. They still haven't said what they're looking for, but they're like, let's split up. You go that way. I'll go this way. We got walkie talkies, and they're like, all right, check the walkie talkies. And they're like, check, 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 check. And then they go their separate ways. Jonathan goes down one little part of the hallway, and Andrew just kind of stops walking. And Warren shows up. Or the visage of Warren.
I wrote ghost in quotes.
Mm-hmm. Andrew freaks out a little bit. He's like, oh, okay, ooh, yeah, there you are. And Andrew is hallucinating that Warren is there, and Warren's talking to him, and Andrew's like, oh my God, dude, I am so fucking happy to see you. I can't tell you how annoyed I am by this Jonathan fucking piece of shit. Like, this guy is getting on my last nerve. And Warren's like, don't worry. It's all going a part of the plan. Me dying was a part of the plan. Everything's going perfect. And then once we do what we're about to do, we won't have to worry about Jonathan anymore because we're going to become gods. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. A lot of Star Wars references strike me down. Yeah. Not sure. Be more powerful than ever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny moment where Warren tries to play it up and Andrew doesn't get it. And he's like,
yeah. When he's like, he's our last hope. And then Warren's like, there is another. Yeah. And Andrew's like, wait, there's another? Who is the other? He's like, no, I was just finishing the line.
Yeah. They still got their banter. They still got their banter.
They're very good at it. They're good characters.
Yeah, they do a good job with them. I'm sure the writers just loved writing those scenes. It's like all guys talking to each other that they write.
Yeah, it's like the quirky, nerd, pop culture junkie type of stuff that they that they're gonna love writing about.
That pop culture junkie thing is a great insight.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if we've even talked about that on the podcast.
It's from the first episode. It's from the first podcast we ever recorded, Boys Watching Girls.
Yeah.
And you said, you called us pop culture junkies, and I just laughed.
Yes.
And then we went on to talk about all the things we hadn't seen.
Yeah, I was like, did we even talk about that on mic? Yeah, I haven't seen anything, Vance is like, oh, pop culture junkie Joe. That's a little bit of the boys lore for you.
I just referenced something. Nope, I haven't seen it. Never heard of it. What is this, Star Wars?
Anyway, so yeah, they're trying to become gods, the trio again. But then we go to the library and Willow is talking to Cassie / Tara. And Willow's like, baby, why do you have to talk through Cassie? Like, why can't you see me yourself? Why can't I see you? And Cassie explains that Tara can't manifest herself because Willow has killed people and she's done wrong things. And that's why. But she can talk through Cassie to Willow, but because Willow did some bad shit, she doesn't get the privilege of seeing Tara again.
And I was like, bullshit.
Yeah. I was like, oh, she must be working on a movie.
Yeah. I was like, now I don't believe anything Cassie says.
Yeah. If they can get Warren back, you can get Tara back. Okay.
Oh, you just can't see her because, you know, if you do bad things, you don't see people. Yet Spike sees everybody. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So then Willow starts crying and she's like, oh my God, I miss you so much, Tara. I miss you so much. And Cassie says that Tara's crying too. And Tara misses Willow and she wants to touch Willow again. And Willow's like, I want you to touch me too. Remember when you made me fucking orgasm while singing? You made me complete, or I did that to you. Remember when we went to the nether regions? And we did our O face. We had to do our O face spell. Remember all that magic orgasming that we did? Anyway, it hurts so much every single fucking day that you're gone. And it hurts and it sucks and it's not getting better. There's a hole in my heart and it's not getting better. And then Cassie's like, Tara says that it will get better, though. It will. So that's a nice little comfort for Willow.
She says you're strong like an Amazon. We get that call back.
Yeah. Yuck. But so then we go to Spike at the Bronze and some lady shows up next to him and she like drops a pack of cigarettes next to him. And
I think those are his cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah. I think she's just sat down. Right? Them? I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway, this scene, a girl sits next to Spike.
Yeah. Gives him cigarettes. So then we go back to Buffy and Webbs, and Webbs is like trying to give Buffy some therapy. Mm-hmm. They're talking relationships, and Buffy's laying on a grave like it's a chaise lounge, like in a stereotypical therapist office. And Webbs is like, Buffy, you know, listen to all of your relationship woes. It's really sounding like you've got a fear of commitment. You're like a commitment phobe. And you really need to ease up on yourself because, you know, you're really hard on yourself and you've got a lot of responsibility and like you don't really give yourself a lot of grace. And then Buffy is like, yeah, you know what? You might be right about that. And Webbs is just like so stoked to be a vampire. And he's like, oh my God, I fucking love this. And I'm excited to learn the lingo because Buffy's talking to him about what is it that she brings up here?
He's like, turning people. And she's like, it's called sire. You're being sire. Yeah. And it's also a noun. It's like, okay. Yeah. I love that he's learning all this stuff and they still have to talk about like, we have to fight to the death.
Well, this also confirms that when a person becomes a vampire, they don't automatically know that the Slayer is around and they don't automatically know all the vampire lingo.
For that one gag that when that guy comes out of the grave and I think that one hears that she's a Slayer and then he runs away, but they shouldn't know what a Slayer is.
Yeah.
It's, again, like we say with the show, sometimes it's just whatever works best for the story. It is fun to hear Buffy explaining to a vampire what the stuff is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's so stoked to be a vampire. And he's happy that he like finally got to reconnect with Buffy and like chat with her. And she's got such an interesting life. But wait a minute, this sucks because we're going to have to fight, aren't we? Because you're the vampire slayer and I'm a vampire. And Buffy's like, yeah. He's like, oh, man, I'm not really that thrilled about that. Buffy's like, I'm not either, because I know I'm going to win. And he's like, oh, you really think so, huh? He's like, what are you talking about? I took like 2 years of Taekwondo. I was beating the shit out of you earlier. And Buffy's like, but I'm the Slayer. And he's like, all right, well, that remains to be seen. But anyway.
She's like, even if you kill me, my friends are going to bring me back to life. It's
fine. There's no escape for me. But then he's like, well, before we start fighting, let's talk a bit more about like who you are as a person. Like, I feel like you've got some inner woe that we need to really get to the bottom of. So like, let's talk about your parents' divorce. Like, whose fault do you think that was?
Mine.
And Buffy's like, if I'm being honest, pretty sure it's my dad. I think he cheated on my mom. I can't confirm, but I'm pretty sure he was cheating. And then Webbs is like, well, do you think that might be like where some of your relationship problems are coming from? And Buffy's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, it might be like kind of your own fault because, you know, your dad cheated. Maybe like you don't trust men because of that. And I think that you also might have like a superiority complex that you think you're better than everybody. And Buffy's like, fuck you. That's hurtful.
This is classic TV psychotherapy.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could say all that stuff and then be like, oh, yeah, Buffy does probably have divorce probably. Or maybe because she had sex with two vampires who have tried to kill her multiple times.
Yes.
Like, I think losing your virginity to a vampire who then murders your watcher's girlfriend is a little more traumatizing with relationships than after that stage than your dad, who may have cheated on your mom, but you used to still hang out with after that.
Yeah.
Like you still spend weekends there. You still might have some minor trust issues there. But then you slept with a murderous vampire and turned him. So that would, that'll change some things, you know? And plus also you've watched so many people die and so many things die. You have just a weird connection to anything.
I think that that's what needs to be tackled before all of the divorce stuff.
Yeah, we could slowly get back to like normal problems. So why were you bad at school? Did you not like to study? Do you need to get tested for dyslexia,
ADHD? I've died twice. You think that might be because of your parents, though?
How are your parents doing? Well, my mom tried to, yeah. I got a magic sister.
Dude, isn't that such a mind fuck that Buffy, like, everybody knows that she's fake? That's so crazy, dude.
It's just wild that they have memories of, it's still wild they all have memories of Dawn.
Just that aren't real, yeah. Technically.
Yeah. The whole world is fake.
Yeah. Anyway. So then Buffy starts to feel bad about herself and like, yeah, I've been a bad person and I feel bad because I've been a bad friend and I don't like what I've become. Like, I've sheltered myself away from everybody and, oh my God, you're judging me so hard. And Webb's goes, hey, I'm here to kill you, not judge.
Such a great line.
Dude,
and this is
Webb's is fucking awesome.
Yeah, this is the moment to say he makes this episode. Like, their interaction, this is the best. Like, yeah. Buffy and him together is just so much fun. Like, they go back and forth. He has, he's humorous. Like, he's funny and then thoughtful, but also, like, he's, like, a best version of the vampires that we get.
Yes. I would say, like, he's also up there with Gnarl for, like, best villain of the season. So, like, he's fucking awesome.
I didn't even think about that because it's hard to say, oh, he was a villain, but he is a vampire.
They do fight.
He's one of the best characters of the season so far for me, at least.
Yeah, I really like this guy a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's got like a vibe like of some actor that's I don't know who it is. It's like a young Vince Vaughn or something.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it.
I looked him up after this episode. He's been in Firefly, and I think he's in one episode of Angel. I don't know if we've seen him in Angel or not yet.
I don't know. He reminds me of this comedian named Dan Soder. Have you heard of Dan Soder?
The name sounds familiar.
If you look him up, he kind of looks like this guy.
Yeah.
And they have like a similar kind of vibe.
Oh, you know, he's got a little bit of that Rupert Everett character. Maybe. I think that's the person. Yeah, he looks a little bit like Dan Soder. He definitely has this like vibe. He fits perfectly with the Joss Whedon funny guy character banter, and he delivers the lines well. Like, some people don't do that as well, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like Alyssa Hannigan is like phasing out of saying some of the stuff that she has to say, like the Whedonisms. And she says that she just doesn't have the same heart behind it as she did early seasons.
I agree, yeah. But this guy is like perfectly cast.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy then keeps going on about like how the last guy that she was with, she treated him badly. She treated him like a monster, and she feels bad about treating Spike so poorly. She just let him take her over, and for some reason she was just like allowing him to do things to her that she didn't really want to happen. And then Webb is like, listen to this. And he's like, huh, interesting. And then he walks over to a grave, picks up a statue of like the Virgin Mary. And he's like looking at it. He's like, huh, this thing is interesting. It just turns around and smashes Buffy in the head with it.
Great.
And Buffy goes flying off of this grave, and then he grabs her and he goes to bite her neck.
And then we cut to commercial.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Now, I thought this would be an interesting time for her to get turned into a vampire.
Oh my God, yeah.
But instead, we end up with just commercial fodder, which... Mm-hmm. We've done this before when Willow got bit by Harmony, where you're like, oh, yeah. Shit, Willow's got
commercial
bit.
Commercial fake out.
Yeah, I don't like the commercial fake out.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of when it's, I'm fine if like they're going to be trapped somewhere and you're like, how are they going to get out of this? But not like, oh, they can't get out of this. Oh, the commercial helped.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like a commercial fake out, but I like a cliffhanger. Like if that was the end, like you just know that she's not getting turned in the middle of the episode. That's what throws me off about it.
Like if he hit her with it and they cut, then that's funny. Then we can come back. He jumps over and he tries to bite her and they fight. But because he has her and his teeth are at her neck, it's like, why now? What happened?
Yeah. But then we come back from commercial, whopper, whopper. Buffy throws him off of her and they fight a little bit more. And then he like turns back into regular human guy and he's like, whoa, 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 sorry. I just got, you know, vampire shit. That's what I got to do. I got to fucking fight you. I got this overwhelming bloodlust every once in a while. Sorry about that. And then they just fight. Buffy throws him. They like both fall into like some kind of crazy mausoleum mansion type deal.
And you're like, this is going to be smashed all over again.
Yeah. I mean, Buffy could do worse than webs.
Yeah.
She has done worse.
Yes, yeah, she has.
So then we go back to the Summer's home and Dawn's at home and she can hear something breathing. And then like there's a flash. And you can see Joyce's body on the couch. And then her eyes are all whited out and shit. And it looks all freaky. And then there's another flash. And then there's like a demon, like a black slimy looking demon, like choking Joyce on the couch. And I was like, yo, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And Dawn is freaking out. The ghost grabs the axe that Dawn was smashing everything with and it almost hits Dawn. And then Dawn's like, what the fuck? I gotta get out of here. She goes to escape. She runs for the door. Door flies open and a bunch of wind just rushes in and prevents Dawn from escaping. But then it also says, get out?
The wind isn't preventing her from escaping. It's opening the door.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. Okay. Oh, you're right. Because Dawn... isn't trying to escape. The ghost is forcing her to escape.
Yeah.
It says get out.
The door opened in an earlier scene too. It got forced open. She had to force it close. And now it's opening the door again and it's like, get out.
You're right. But Dawn is refusing to leave because she's not gonna abandon her mom. She's gonna stay and she's gonna save my mommy. So then we go back to the high school. You know what? I wanna stick on this scene a little bit. This scene was so good. Like that slimy looking black thing. Like I know it was only like a flash. And if I would have paused on it, it probably would have looked stupid.
No, it was creepy. It was kind of, it was gnarl-esque minus the nose and stuff. Just crushed over top.
It was like, it was straight out of a horror movie. Like Dawn is in a horror movie right now.
I mean, it's interesting to try to figure out what scenes Drew Goddard wrote in Jane Espenson.
Mm-hmm.
Espenson?
They got you too, Vance.
I've never actually had to say her name on this podcast. Yeah, because we know Drew Goddard. He did Cabin in the Woods and a bunch of other stuff. So, yeah.
So, yeah, just I really love the Dawn stuff, to be honest with you.
There's something funny I wanted to happen at the end of the Dawn thing that would have, it wasn't where the episode was going, but I'll mention it when we get there.
Okay. So we go back to the high school and the duo's in the high school and they're looking for where they need to go. And Jonathan's like, I don't know where we need to go. And Andrew goes, we need to go over there. And the shot of just the flashlight and Warren like creepily standing in front of this door was so frightening. I thought it was creepy as fuck. It was like something from like Silent Hill or something.
It's weird because he's like in the door frame. It's not like he's it's not like he's just standing in front of it. It's like they superimposed him in the wall. And it's Andrew and Jonathan standing next to each other, but Jonathan doesn't see Warren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, well, let's go check it out. Might as well. If you are so convinced that that's it. And Jonathan's got a map and he's like, you know what? You actually might be right. So they go over to the door, they open it and they're like, actually, this might be it. This is it. And Andrew is like very confident. He's like, it's right there. We need to go right there. And they're like, all right, cool. Let's start digging. And they start digging up the floor. And then you're like, oh, no.
Well, I kind of knew as soon as they went to the high school because they mentioned getting to the principal's office and then going down. And I was like, well,
yeah,
we know.
Yeah, I kind of knew that, too. And yeah. I was like, oh, no. But now it's like confirmed, like, oh,
got to go to the Hellmouth. And from beneath, it devours.
Well, we were kind of... should we talk about the angel thing that we were predicting?
Well, I wanted to say that I was going to say probably on the angel podcast, but I was wrong about the crossover that I thought. Because there's a big bad on angel that I thought might have something to do with this, but it is confirmed that they are two separate entities.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah. So I was off on that.
Yeah.
Now I'm really wondering how it's going to cross. I don't know what's happening. Maybe it'll cross. Maybe it'll cross paths.
Maybe. I mean, I'll still leave it open, but yeah. as of right now, it's looking like not.
Yeah, definitely. What we see, the actions here do not fit the actions on the other thing, but who knows?
No. Yeah. So they start digging up the floor. We go back to Buffy and Webb's fighting, and Buffy's just about to kill him. And Webbs goes, are you killing me because I'm evil or because you opened up? And Buffy's like, you fucking psych motherfucker.
My note says Buffy gets psych 101.
Yeah. That was so good, dude.
Yeah. The face switch back to normal and him asking that question. It's just, they just have such a good back and forth. Like, it's such a good, all their scenes are just fun.
Yeah. And Buffy walks away all frustrated. She's like, God damn it. And I think that Webb says something like, oh my God. And he goes, wait a minute. God? Does God exist? And Buffy goes, nothing solid's really on his existence. He might. It's like, you were in heaven, dude.
I know. It's like they couldn't confirm that, but they know hells exist.
Yep. And they know that they know hell dimensions exist. They know that heavenly dimensions exist. But there's so many different dimensions. Like, I wouldn't be sure about anything either
at
this point.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't make. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was funny that Webbs is like, wait a minute. Does God exist? Buffy like, kind of shrugs her shoulders like, I don't know. Like,
where does the Slayer get her powers from?
Dude, if this is how we got like exposition and like how anything works.
Yeah, fine. Give me anything.
I would have loved it.
I like he hears, oh, you're a Slayer. Oh, you're a chosen one. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
How are you chosen? How does this work?
Yeah. But Webbs is like, all right. I know we have to fight. I get that. But before we fight, let's make a deal. I'm going to ask you a question. And if the answer is yes, I get to ask you another question and you have to answer truthfully. All right. And if the answer is no, then we can just do our fight to the death type of thing. And Buffy's like, all right, fine. And then Webbs is like, was your last relationship with a vampire? And Buffy's like, oh. And then Webb's like, so you're saying there's a chance.
If I was Webb, one of my questions would be, so if you kill me and I'm already dead, what does that mean?
Dude, that's way too... I mean, that would be in Webb's wheelhouse to ask like these crazy theoretical questions.
But that's a real question. Like, he's just so amped. Like, one of us is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I get like he's still evil, but he still can like have a conversation. But yeah, like he just came back to life.
Yeah.
I would have also been like, Buffy, can I like be a vampire for like a little bit? I've seen you let a couple run away. I've heard you.
I know that we can like survive off like pig's blood, right? Yeah. Is that something that can be done? I promise I'll just do pig's blood like your boyfriend did.
She's like, I can't let you run around and just kill people. I was like, can you, Buffy? Because you seem to do that a lot.
Yeah. So speaking of her last relationship being with a vampire, we go to Spike, and Spike is walking that lady that gave him the cigarettes home, it looks like.
It's the most rom-com walk and talk I've ever seen.
Yeah, Spike's got his like shoulders up and his hands in his pockets. Right, he's
kicking the ground when he walks, and they're like, and I'm like, who does this in Sunnydale? Who just strolls at night?
Yeah, I would never, dude. I would never.
It's like a suburban town where they were like, hey, yeah, there's a bunch of serial killers on the loose. And everyone was just like, all right, I guess no curfew. We're just going to walk around.
So after that little short scene of Spike walking this lady home, we go back to Willow, and Willow is talking to Cassie, and she's like, Cassie, aka Tara, do you know about what I did after you died? And then Tara's like, yeah, but you were grieving. And I was like, this is evil. This is evil.
Yeah.
This is evil. I just wrote in my notes, Tara's making excuses for Willow, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And Willow's like, no, but I killed people. Like, I destroyed a bunch of property. Like, I did a lot of fucked up stuff. Like, most people don't grieve like that. And Tara...
Wait, hold on. The police saw her, right? The police saw Willow.
Outside the police station. Floating outside of the police, yeah.
Is her hair color changing back make them not realize who it was just 2 months later?
Yeah. Maybe she did a forget spell on the entire police department.
She still got some leftover forget-me-nots.
Yeah, put them underneath all their pillows. Yeah. I'd love to see that scene, like her breaking into all the cops' houses.
The reverse tooth fairy. You can play that comedic upbeat music.
One of them like kind of wakes up, honey. Ooh, shh. Honey.
Shh, go back to bed.
I'm just going to the bathroom, honey. Go back to sleep. Yeah.
But then Willow's like, no, I killed people. I destroyed a bunch of property. Like, I was really doing bad shit. And then Tara's like, well, it's because you tapped into a power, and the power is bigger than you, Willow. And like, you can't really fault yourself for that. And then Willow goes, what are you talking about? I am the power.
When she said that, I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was so douchey. That was insane, dude.
Superiority complex, right?
Right. We need to get Webb talking to Willow, please.
I was like, she's saying I am the power after last season where that was the bad thing.
Yeah.
And she's not saying this with black eyes.
Well, she said, I am the magic last season, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But dude, when she said, I am the power.
Yeah.
Bro.
As bolded and underlined in my notes.
Dude, could you imagine if Willow turned into a vampire, how unstoppable she would be?
I don't think being a vampire would give her that much. I think she would be more stoppable. because then she couldn't be in a sun.
Fair. Yeah. You just need to get her a ring of Amara and she's fucking crushing, dude.
I love they introduced that for 2 seconds. I was like, this we can't have in the world. You got to get rid of it.
That was so frustrating. I know that you got to get rid of it, but it's so frustrating.
It's frustrating for the way certain things turned out in Angel.
Yeah.
Which I think the way things turned out with what he wanted made no sense. Made the Amora thing make less sense. But if he didn't want the things that he wanted, then, you know.
But anyway, so Willows drops, "I am the power." And they're like, "Yeah, you are, but, you know, that's really dangerous." And Tara and Cassie can see Willow's path, and the path that she's going down is not good if she keeps using magic. So she needs to stop using magic altogether. It's too dangerous, and she might lose control again. And Willow's like, but Giles, what about Giles? Giles said that I could use magic. I just don't use dark magic. And they're like, nah.
I love the argument when you're speaking to what you believe is terror from beyond the grave. And you're going to say, but Giles, the English man that I know, told me this.
That kicked me out of his house before I was done my rehab.
Yeah.
He said that I'm going to be fine.
Well, Giles said this, but I'm sure you have no idea what you could probably see the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Willow's like, no, I'm going to be okay. I'll be fine. And they're like, you're not going to be okay. Because if you keep using magic, even one iota of magic, you are going to kill everybody. And then Willow's like, so.
Xander will always be there to talk me down.
Yeah. I got yellow crayons in my pocket to remind me.
And this is the time to bring up. No Xander or Anya in this episode.
Yep. Yeah, I was trying to remember before we were podcast. I was like, yeah, Xander's not in this one at all.
Nope.
Yeah. Complain about that, Xander slanderer.
I like we go like, Xander's not in this episode. Favorite episode of the season so far?
Oh, no, no.
Well, I will say I have been enjoying Anya this season a lot. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Anya's conflict a lot and her acting. Yeah. But I mean, I can't take anything away from this episode, dude. This episode is fantastic.
Yeah.
So anyway, we go back to the duo doing their little digging. And Andrew is like behind Jonathan while Jonathan's digging. And Andrew looks very menacing. He's like, yeah, keep digging, you stupid son of a bitch. And
it's true.
And Jonathan is like, man, it's kind of weird that we're back in high school, huh? We're back at this high school. Like, kind of makes you miss it a little bit, doesn't it? And Andrew's like, no. And Jonathan's like, really? You don't miss it at all? Like, I don't know. It's just fun to, like, think about being in high school and, like, being kind of carefree and seeing all the people that you would see and just, you know, doing. I know, like, if I was back in high school, I probably wouldn't be enjoying it as much. But, like, looking back, I got some, like, nostalgic rose-tinted glasses. And I kind of miss everybody. And then Andrew goes, they don't fucking miss you. And they don't care about you. And they're not wondering what you're up to. Not one of them cares about you, buddy. And then Jonathan goes, yeah, but I care about them. And I was like, that's very sweet.
And not true?
Yeah, and I wrote in my notes right after that, says, that's why he's there digging up the Hellmouth.
Like, it's like the weirdest sentiment for him to have.
It's weird because they try to make Jonathan like kind of a sweetie and like a likable bad guy who like just gets wrapped up in the stuff.
Yeah.
But he like doesn't need to go along with some of this stuff.
He did the superstar thing where he controlled everybody to make them like him. I think he's forgetting that he almost killed himself in high school and Buffy had to talk him down. Like it wasn't great. And I don't understand how he's back in Sunnydale in the basement of a new school
Yeah, he has no memories of being in this school.
Yeah, a school that he also, in high school, he also had to fight the mayor during the ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's looking back fondly. I'm like, yeah, you know what? That was great. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I just think that, like, the story of Jonathan is, like, such a tragedy. Like, they're trying to make it a tragedy of, like, he was a guy that always wanted to be liked and he was just always a loser. And then he got wrapped up in the wrong crew and showing how bad that can be for somebody. But, like, logically, some of it just doesn't add up. And I get what they're going for. I get it.
I get what they're going for. I just feel like have him say something else. Like, he can say something more. I don't think he should be like, well, I still care about them. I'm like, that's way too, like, flight of fancy. I'm holier than thou. They, like, they can spit on me. They can crucify me, but I will always come to save them. I'm like, that's not Jonathan. That's not his personality. Like, he can be conflicted, but he's like, I like when he's like, wait, I didn't know what rape was. I didn't want to do that. Like he could be like, hey, I didn't love high school, but I don't want to destroy the whole world.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, okay, fine. That's more him. But not, I care about every classmate that I had here.
Like, yeah, it's especially so, like, after we just see him getting bullied nonstop. Yeah.
He got bullied by, like, he didn't get bullied. He did get bullied at one point by the swim team.
I mean, there's that classic scene of him with his giant glug or whatever.
Oh, and Cordelia gives him.
Yeah.
But then, like, he'd always just be, like, randomly standing around and Buffy would be like, "Who? What are you doing?" He's just a fun little side character. I do like him elevating up. I just think him saying that line, I still care about them, is just so forced. It's so out of character.
Yeah, he's also had, like, a crazy character arc where he was, like, a loser, tried to kill himself, went to therapy, gave Buffy the class protector award, then turned evil, tried to kill Buffy, did Superstar, was gonna rape a lady, but then he was like, then they killed a lady, they covered up their death. It's like, he's gone many crazy paths.
I still care about them, even though I framed Buffy for murder. Like, all right, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, remember, and Jonathan was like, we brought this up last season. He's like, I'm going to turn myself in because it's the right thing to do. And then earlier this episode, they're like, I can't go back to prison. It changes a man. I was like, you guys were there for like 2 seconds. Before he got broken out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, love the episode. That's just my one, like, just have them see a different sentiment.
Yeah. So anyway, we go back to the Summer's house. And Dawn is now sitting cross-legged on the floor with some candles. She's trying to do a spell. And I was already like, don't do this.
My thought was, because I've seen Die Hard, I don't know if you have.
I actually have not. I've seen.
But my thought was to have, I was like, Dawn, why are you not putting shoes on? There's glass everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We saw her taping her foot up because there was so much glass in the kitchen and she got cut when she was calling Buffy. And then she's back shoeless on the spell.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're in your own house. Yeah. You had to go to the room to get the spell stuff.
You think maybe she tried to put some shoes on and the demon was like, no, no, no. Take them shoes off.
This is a horror movie.
So she's sitting cross-legged. She starts doing a spell to cast out the demon. And the demon, like, slides her across the floor, slams her into a wall. And she's like, I don't care. I'm going to call on all the gods to fucking cast you out. And then the demon just starts, like, attacking her and slashes her face. All of the windows in the house shatter. And I was like, oh, Xander's in business. Contractory goodness.
Oh, yeah. Andrew's just giving the quote. That's what he's doing. He's calculating the quote from outside.
Dude, their house is so fucked up again.
Well, here's the thing. I wanted at the end of this episode, I wanted Buffy to come home. Because I thought from the beginning when she was making a mess, like demons would attack. Dawn would like fight it off. And then Buffy would come home and be like, what the hell? You know, like you ruined the house. I thought it would just be that comedic, like mom, the parents come home and you're like, but I didn't have a party or anything. It's just like, I think this would have happened early seasons and probably happened early seasons with Buffy and Joyce. Like, what did you do to your room? She's been fighting a demon for like 3 hours. So I just thought that'd be a fun little tag thing if Buffy came home and was like freaking out, but.
She's like, what happened? Dawn's like, I was just watching Cops.
Oh, God, Cops. I haven't thought about that show in a minute.
Yeah. You know, they shouldn't even reinvest in furniture. They should just have two mattresses on the floor. Mm-hmm. And that's it. They should live in a fucking flop house, dude. Like, they can't get any nice things.
Windows are expensive.
Yeah, dude. They've had to replace these windows at least 4 or 5 times.
But at least we know this season based off of the commentary that's been shared with us. I think they decided, let's start with the money issues with the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not very fun.
Not fun.
Bring that little dose of reality into the show about vampires.
The bad guy is real life. It's like, this is an escapism show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, house is all fucked up. And then we go back to Buffy and Webbs, and they're talking about Spike and how Spike actually cared for Buffy, and Buffy didn't want to be loved, and she felt that she needed to be punished for all the bad stuff that she's done, but she feels like she's worse than everybody, but also that everyone is beneath her. Because she does have a superiority complex, but she's not worthy of their love, and their love doesn't matter because they haven't been through what she's been through, and they can't relate because there's only one Slayer. Well, kind of. I do love that he's like, so there's only one of you? And Buffy's like, yeah, basically. Little do we know.
Yeah.
Faith is out there in the world somewhere.
Somehow there's a loophole in Slayerdom.
Yeah.
That no one seems curious enough about.
Yeah. So, Buffy's like, they can't relate to me. And sometimes, I do feel like I am better than them. I do feel like I am superior because I am. I'm the Slayer. They can't get it. And then Webb's just like, well, dude, it totally makes sense why you feel alone. Like, you are alone. There's no one in the world except for one other person, that bears this burden of being the Slayer. Like, I get it. And that's why you're having such relationship problems. So anyway, now that we got to the bottom of that, knuckle crack, 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 I guess we should get ready to fight.
Well, I do like that he brings up that she has a superiority complex with an inferiority complex about having a superiority complex.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, I guess thanks for like humoring me and letting me ask you a couple questions. But I guess let's get to this fight to the death situation. And Buffy's like, I guess so. But before we do, I just want to thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. And, you know, it really helped me to really to get to the bottom and talk about this whole Spike situation. And this is the first time Buffy has dropped his name. And Webbs is like, wait. I'm sorry, did you say Spike? And Buffy's like, yeah. And then we cut away. We cut away to Spike. And Spike is still walking that lady home. Then we cut to Dawn getting just the shit beat.
Well, Spike is outside of her place. The girl's apartment.
Yeah. They're like at her apartment.
And she's trying to invite him in. And it looks like you're like, is he going to go in? Is he not? And he's like kicking the ground, like, I don't know if I should.
And she's like walking up the stairs and she's like turning around, like, And Spike's like,
And it's all shot from like slightly far away, like a little far back. So you're peeking in on it. Nice.
So then we go to Dawn getting her ass kicked by the demon at home, and she's still trying to cast him out. And then just blood splatters all over the wall. And I was like, oh my God, dude.
I know.
And then the lights go out and like all the blood disappears. And then the whole house is just fucked up. Mm-hmm. And Dawn is on the ground and everything kind of like stops for a second. And then Joyce appears in this like angelic robe, and she's glowing, and she's like casting this radiant light from herself. And it's like, oh my God, Joyce is there and she is angelic. And then we cut away from that. And then we go to Willow and Cassie, and Cassie's like, I needed to warn you about what you're doing, Willow, because you need to stop using magic. You can't do magic anymore. And Willow's like, I tried that and it's hard. I just got so used to doing it, I can't do it. And then Cassie goes, if you do so much as one more spell, it's going to lead to destruction. And Willow's like, I can't. I am not strong. I am not strong like Amazon. Okay. I know we said that, but I am not that. And then Cassie goes, well, if you can't do that, there is something that you can do to stop it and to stop this path you're going down. And that way you can see Tara too. And Willow's like, Willie, what can I do? And then Cassie is like, I mean, you can fucking kill yourself. And then Willow's like, oh, wait a second. This isn't Tara. Yeah.
My note goes, Willow's not that dumb.
Yeah.
And honestly, that saves the episode too.
Yes.
Not necessarily that she doesn't go through with that or fall for that trick. Is that we reveal that something's up. We don't just have this happen and then it like lingers for the next few episodes. We find out something's afoot right here in this episode. Yeah.
And I know that I said that like Cassie's like, you can fucking kill yourself, but she's like, does it a lot more subtly. They're like, you could just end it. And it's like, it's not as crass as that. It's like subtle, but like you get the hint. Yeah, and like, Willow's like, oh, this like, is like, not my beloved.
It's just like going to sleep or something, you know? And it's like one of those things. Yeah. We'll get to it.
I mean, it's a good plan because this demon that was like using Willow was she had Willow hook, line, and sinker for a little bit.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say like later.
A little too heavy handed.
Even the demon realizes I've overreached with that.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought too. I was like, that's an overreach. It's she was never suicidal, Willow.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a real reach for you to do that. Like, if you're going to do something, you have to trick her to go to some place that's going to kill her, but not for her to do that.
Yeah. So then we go back to Buffy and Webbs, and Buffy's like, yeah, I said Spike. How do you know Spike? And Webbs goes, Spike is the guy who sired me. And you're like, what? And then Buffy is even like,
but he has a soul.
Yeah. And Buffy's even like, are you fucking serious? And then it cuts away from them to go to Spike, and Spike just chomps down on that lady that he was walking home. And I was like, oh shit, dude.
Yeah.
Twist.
Yep.
And then we go to Dawn at home. And Joyce is talking to Dawn, and Dawn's like, Mom, I missed you so much. I missed you. And Joyce goes, Dawn, I'm here to warn you that things are coming. Bad things are coming. And Buffy will not be there for you when these bad things are coming. And when things get really bad, Buffy will not choose you, Dawn. She will be fighting against you, actually. And then Joyce disappears, and Dawn's just left on the ground in shambles. And I like what they did here, but I don't like what I know it's going to lead to.
What do you think it's going to lead to?
I think so. Like, you know how we enjoy that Willow didn't trust the demon?
Mm-hmm.
Dawn is absolutely going to trust this Joyce vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that, because now Dawn's going to be suspicious of Buffy and really like whiny and like suspicious. And I just don't like that.
I like that because at least we know, like, we get the Willow scene reveal first, and then we get the Joyce thing, and then we're like, oh yeah, obviously this Joyce thing is not, because we get the visions of, like, Warren, you know, Warren's manipulating Andrew to get what he wants, and then you have Cassie coming, and you're like, oh, that's a manipulation, and then you get Joyce, and he's like, it's no way Dawn can know what this is unless Willow, who's obviously been teaching Dawn magic,
dude,
right? Yeah. Like, so maybe she'll be like, hey, this thing happened, and then Dawn will open up and be like, hey, pseudo mom, I met my real mom, and she'll be like, that probably wasn't your real mom if it happened on November 12th, 2002. But I did like, I like the emotional hit, but Dawn also, if she thinks back in her time, she'll be like, Buffy has always saved me. Why would she choose against me? She saved me and killed herself for me. Why would anything be different? That's what Dawn could realize. Mm-hmm. But I can understand the emotional trauma that she just went through. And I do like that as a plot. Like, I think that's a good reach. I like that as a good reach for a demon that's trying to manipulate people versus, like, I'm going to try to trick the most powerful witch into killing herself. But
I think I like it as a idea, but I just don't like it as it's being done to Dawn, because I feel like Dawn has been in that position too many times with Buffy where she's like, I don't trust Buffy, or she's always, like, at odds with Buffy. And it's been nice to see them on the same team. And now she's just going to go back to,
they weren't on the same team
last
episode.
I just...
Last episode, they were fighting over a guy, and it was great.
But that was fun.
Now, here's the thing. We saw last episode, you could probably convince Dawn to kill herself.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's not what they need. This demon needs to get Willow out of the picture. I think this demon is afraid of Willow's power. They're like, don't use magic anymore. Oh, shit. You're still going to use magic? Maybe just die. That was like a desperation ploy. Like, that demon is afraid of Willow.
Yeah. So then after this Dawn scene, we go back to the duo. And Jonathan's, like, digging. They reveal that they've opened a giant pentagram, hellmouth, sewer grate.
Something that Xander's construction crew just failed to see under like 1 inch, 1 foot of dirt.
Just poured some cement over it. It's all good.
They didn't pour cement over it. They didn't have to chisel. They just shoveled it, it looks like, right?
Yeah. So
maybe
they do that. It's a big reveal. Jonathan turns around and Andrew stabs Jonathan right in the side. And Jonathan's like, oh, he falls. He falls down. He starts bleeding all over the manhole cover. And
well, that happens after. That happens after the next scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, spoiler alert.
We got to get the pacing exactly right. This is people's rewatch, okay? People are not rewatching the show. They're getting all the information from us, and we have to have it exactly right, okay?
Yeah. All right. Sorry, everybody. So, yeah. Andrew stabs Jonathan. Jonathan has not fallen over yet.
Very key. Very crucial. That
cut that out. Cut that out, Vance. Cut that out. Edit that out.
those Buffy editors spent time balancing it all out for us to just butcher it in the podcast review.
Then we go back to Cassie and Willow, and Cassie's like, damn, that suicide thing was too far, wasn't it? Ah, I thought that I had you. And Willow's like, who are you? And then Cassie's just like, you know the world would be a better place with you dead. You should just die. And then starts taunting Willow about, like, how she would do it. She's like, it's easy. It's just, you know, take a little razor blade to your wrist. You barely feel a thing and you just go and you die and you put on your fucking Indigo Girls. And it's like, damn.
That's the hit right there. That's a
nice little lesbian dig at Willow.
Just like, yeah.
And then Willow's like, I'm not doing that. And then Demon starts threatening Willow and is like, well, it's gonna be bad, so you probably would be better off committing suicide, because what I have in store for you is gonna be worse And then Willow goes, oh my God, who are you? You're the from beneath you it devours thing, aren't you? And then Cassie just turns into the freakiest looking demon thing and then swallows herself up and disappears.
Yes, it's when the early 2000s visual effects work. They do the big spread, like she smiles and then her mouth opens wide and becomes all digital and then it flips inside out and she disappears. And it's one of those effects where you can be like, oh, that looks bad. Like, it doesn't look that great. But it not looking great is what makes it work and makes it more creepy.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, like, the fuzz around Cassie from, like, the green screen. But, like, the effect of it is very scary looking. Like, and she gets, teeth, claw shit's going on, man. It's crazy.
And it's like, oh, you're from beneath you, it devours. And she's like, not it. Me. And then that smile and flip, and it's like, that's just, it's just like perfect.
Yeah. And then so we know that the from beneath you it devours thing is coming at this point. And then we go to like a little montage at the end where Dawn is at home alone and she's sad because, you know, Joyce was there and saying Buffy's not going to be there for you. Then we have Jonathan's blood spilling all over the Hellmouth sewer grate.
Now, a reason I wanted it to come in this order is because I wonder if, like, because we don't know what this does necessarily. Because it seems
needed.
Because it seems like the beneath demon is already out.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it seemed like this was going to unleash the demon, but it seems like the demon's already like out and causing trouble, and that's before we see the blood hit the pentagram thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. No.
Yeah. Then we go back to Spike, who is like total vamp faced, just releasing that woman after sucking her dry. And then we go to Buffy, and Buffy is standing in a cloud of dust because she has just killed Webb. She's got her little stake. She's looking distraught and sad. And that ends the episode.
Yeah.
Fantastic episode. I love this one, man.
Yeah, this is... It hits everything. Like, it has the fun stuff with Buffy. It has the creepy horror with Dawn. It has the little emotional hits, but plot moving forward with Willow.
Mm-hmm.
Then you bring back Jonathan and Warren and those guys and Andrew, the trio, the duo. And you wrap up you kind of close up a little loop in that. You kill off a character. Yeah, it's got a lot. It's, I don't know, this one worked for me. This one really worked for me.
Do you think that they knew, too, because they put that title card up there, like, this is going to blow your fucking, you're going to like this one. They put the title card, Conversations with Dead People.
I don't know. And this one also had Giles doing the recap. Has he been doing the recap?
Yeah.
Okay.
Previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah. It's, I don't know why they did that beginning, the way they did.
I think it's because they knew that this was like a banger episode. You know, like how... when they were advertising Hush, apparently they had like, this is a special TV event, and like they advertised it as Hush, and that was like one of the only times that you got the title of it.
Yeah, back then you did not know the title of episodes.
Yeah, I think that was like, we're in our fucking bag right now, you're gonna dig this one. And they were right.
Yeah. It's great. No, this is a good one. This is a good one. Yeah. What date did this air?
November 12th, 2002.
This one absolutely aired that day. Yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
Good shit, man. I liked Webb. So I thought that he could have started. I wish that Buffy would have. I know that they can't, but I liked that.
Yeah.
I loved him, dude.
This is a good one because this is where they go on a holiday break probably too, right?
No, the next one is November 19th.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Speaking of the next one, it is titled Sleeper. Somebody in a coma?
Sleeper agent?
Riley come back?
Nah, Riley's done. I'm pretty... It's no way.
Yeah, no.
No way. They really wrapped that story up well.
I'm going to guess it's Dawn in some kind of Sleeping Beauty type thing. Where she has to have like a spell break her little coma or some shit.
Okay.
Maybe she has some kind of crazy dreams too. We're going to have another dream episode?
Well, what's your prediction? You're throwing a lot of things out here. Which one?
I'm going to guess it's the Dawn Sleeping Beauty thing.
With possible dreams?
Possible dreams, yeah.
I'm going to predict that Xander put someone in a sleeper hold That's it.
That's that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to our episode on Conversations with Dead People. Please hop on our Discord. Let us know what you thought about this episode, what you thought about the episode of the podcast. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where we do boys watching movies, where we're going to be doing Scooby-Doo this month. Boys Watching Angel, Joe's Fashion Report /corner. We got merch. We have it. It's out there. Links in the show notes. Amazon wish list.
You know what's on that wish list.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. All those ads could have gone away.
we wanted to stay independent, but you guys just wouldn't let us.
What else? Instagram at boyswatchingbuffy. Email boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. And stay tuned next time for when we talk about Sleeper.
Anchovies, you're so delicious. I love you more than all the other fishes.